Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Arteries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Death by Black Hole and Other Cosmic Quandaries is a popular science essay collection by astrophysicist and science communicator Neil deGrasse Tyson. First published in 2007, it gathers essays originally written for Natural History magazine and arranges them into thematic sections on scientific knowledge, cosmic phenomena, life in the universe, planetary danger, culture, and religion. Rather than presenting one continuous argument, the book works as a guided tour through astrophysics and cosmology for general readers. Tyson explains how scientists extend human perception, why physical laws apply beyond Earth, what black holes do to matter, how stars create elements, and why the universe can be both life-enabling and hostile. Its purpose is not only to convey facts about space, but also to model scientific reasoning, curiosity disciplined by evidence, measurement, and skepticism. The result is an accessible, often humorous introduction to cosmic-scale thinking and the scientific habits that make such thinking possible. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, scientific knowledge begins by extending the limits of human senses. A central idea in the opening essays is that ordinary human perception is too narrow to reveal the universe as it actually operates. Tyson uses examples such as infrared detection, radio astronomy, X-rays, and other observational tools to show that science advances when instruments translate invisible or inaccessible signals into forms humans can interpret. This argument is important because it reframes technology not as a supplement to science, but as part of the scientific act itself. The eye sees only a small band of the electromagnetic spectrum, so a universe judged only by unaided sight would be severely misunderstood. Telescopes, detectors, spectrographs, satellites, and particle instruments extend observation across wavelengths, distances, and energies that natural senses cannot register. Tyson also emphasizes that better instruments do not merely provide sharper versions of familiar scenes. They reveal new categories of reality, including cosmic background radiation, stellar chemistry, and energetic events hidden from visible light. The practical reasoning is clear: scientific truth often depends on learning how limited the observer is. By beginning with perception, the book gives readers a foundation for understanding why modern astrophysics relies on indirect evidence, specialized measurement, and careful interpretation rather than simple looking. Secondly, the same physical laws connect Earth to stars, galaxies, and black holes. Tyson repeatedly stresses that modern astrophysics depends on the universality of physical law, the motions of planets, the behavior of light, the structure of atoms, and the gravity that shapes stars are not separate cosmic rules but extensions of principles tested on Earth. This point is more than a historical observation. It is the reason scientists can study objects they will never touch. Spectroscopy can identify elements in distant stars because atoms absorb and emit light in consistent ways. Gravity can explain planetary orbits and stellar collapse because it operates across scales. Thermodynamics, nuclear physics, and electromagnetism allow astronomers to infer temperatures, masses, compositions, and histories from remote signals. Tyson presents this unity as one of science's most powerful achievements. The universe becomes intelligible because local experiments and cosmic observations reinforce each other. The book also warns against assuming that appearances are self-explanatory. The sky may look like a collection of isolated lights, but physical law turns it into an interconnected system of matter, energy, motion, and time. By grounding cosmic spectacle in shared rules, Tyson makes the scale of astronomy less mystical and more intellectually manageable. Thirdly, black holes illustrate extreme gravity through tidal forces and spaghettification. The tidal essay is one of the book's best-known explanations because it turns an abstract relativistic object into a physically understandable event. Tyson explains that death by black hole would not simply mean falling into darkness. Near a sufficiently massive compact object, gravity changes dramatically over small distances, so the force on one part of a body can differ from the force on another. This differential gravity, known as tidal force, stretches matter lengthwise and compresses it sideways, a process commonly described as spaghettification. The value of this discussion is that it connects a dramatic image to a real mechanism. Black holes are often treated in popular culture as vague cosmic vacuum cleaners, but Tyson clarifies that their danger depends on gravity, distance, and mass, not on magical suction. Far from the event horizon, a black hole of a given mass can influence objects much like any other object of the same mass. The horror arises when matter approaches regions where curvature and tidal gradients become extreme. By explaining black holes through bodily consequences, Tyson makes general relativity approachable without reducing it to fantasy. The chapter demonstrates his broader method: begin with a striking scenario, then use physics to replace exaggeration with disciplined awe. Fourthly, cosmic evolution links star formation, elements, planets, and the possibility of life. beyond spectacular hazards. The book treats the universe as a long chain of physical processes that make life chemically possible. Tyson discusses nebulae, star formation, stellar fusion, and the production of heavier elements as part of a cosmic history in which atoms needed for biology are forged and dispersed. Hydrogen and helium dominate the early universe, but elements associated with rocky planets and living systems require stellar interiors and explosive stellar deaths. This framework matters because it places life within astrophysics rather than outside it. Planets, atmospheres, oceans, and organic chemistry depend on prior generations of stars that manufactured and redistributed carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, iron, and other elements. Tyson also addresses astrobiological questions, including habitable zones and the possibility that life could exist in environments unlike Earth, such as beneath icy surfaces or on worlds separated from familiar solar conditions. His treatment remains speculative, where evidence is limited, but it is grounded in energy, chemistry, and planetary environments. The intellectual effect is to make life seem neither inevitable nor isolated. It is contingent on cosmic history, yet understandable through the same physical laws that explain stars and galaxies. Lastly, science, culture, and religion are examined through errors, conflict, and public understanding. The later sections broaden the book from astrophysics to the social life of science. Tyson writes about how scientific ideas are received, distorted, resisted, or popularized in culture. One recurring target is the careless treatment of astronomy in films and public imagery, where incorrect skies, impossible events, or misleading scale can reveal how little attention is paid to basic physical reality. These examples are often humorous, but the reasoning behind them is serious culture shapes, what people think science is, and repeated inaccuracies can normalize weak habits of evidence. The book also addresses tensions between science and religion, especially when belief systems make claims about the natural world that conflict with observation and testable explanation. Tyson does not treat science as a complete replacement for every human value, but he is firm about the boundaries of empirical knowledge. Questions about planets, stars, origins, and physical causation require evidence that can be examined and revised. This social dimension helps distinguish the collection from a simple catalog of cosmic facts. They present science as a method embedded in public life, vulnerable to misunderstanding but strengthened by transparency, skepticism, and correction. In conclusion, Death by Black Hole is best suited to readers who want a broad, accessible entry into astrophysics without committing to a technical textbook or a single linear history of the universe. It is especially useful for general science readers and students, teachers, and anyone interested in how astronomy connects to everyday assumptions about knowledge, scale, danger, and belief. Its practical benefit lies in strengthening scientific literacy. Readers learn why instruments matter, how indirect evidence works, why cosmic objects can be understood through physical laws, and how to distinguish dramatic imagery from actual mechanisms. Its intellectual benefit is a clearer sense of humanity's place in a universe that is vast, old, creative, and dangerous. Compared with many popular astronomy books, it stands out because of its essay structure and range. Tyson moves from sensory perception to black holes, from stellar chemistry to movie errors, and from astrobiology to religion without requiring the reader to follow one continuous argument. That structure may feel less unified than a narrative cosmology, but it makes the book highly browsable and varied. Its distinctive strength is the combination of scientific explanation, cultural criticism, and wit, all aimed at showing how the scientific mind approaches both cosmic mysteries and ordinary misconceptions. If you would like to support Neil deGrasse Tyson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.